We pick up again this morning in the book of 1 Peter. We have been reading that since Easter. We didn't read from it last week, but we have been reading that semi-continually since Easter. And this is perhaps a well-known text to us because it ends up describing who it is that we are called to be by God. Let us listen then for God's word as it comes to us from the beginning of the second chapter of 1 Peter. Rid yourselves, therefore, of all malice and all guile, insincerity, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you might proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Here in the readings from God's holy word for this day, and to God's name be all glory and praise now and forever. Would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Now, one of my favorite theologians was born in 1904 in Springfield, Massachusetts. Theodore Geisel graduated from Dartmouth College and went on to become a cartoonist before adding the written word to his drawings and becoming a world-renowned theologian. I bet you've read many of his books, perhaps under a different name, though, Dr. Seuss, Theodore Geisel. He's a wonderful theologian, and he offers us a timeless reflection on how earthly kings are always trying to take living creatures and turn them into living stones that serve the purposes of those earthly kings. And the story that he tells that undergirds this the best is called Yertle the Turtle. Do you know Yertle the Turtle? I actually have it memorized, which is, I don't know, kind of strange. Dr. Seuss starts with describing life in a simple pond, where the turtles are all happy. They're quite happy indeed, until the king, Yertle the Turtle, decides his kingdom is too small because he believes that everything that he can see belongs to him. Wouldn't that be great? Everything you see belongs to you? Yeah. So he figures that if he can see more, then he will be king over more things and will have a bigger territory. So he begins to build a new throne for himself out of other turtles, out of the living stones around him there in the pond. Now his first throne is a 9-turtle stack. And he sits on that for quite a while until the turtle at the bottom of the stack, a turtle named Mac, gets tired and he sighs after spending many hours holding up these other 8 turtles plus a king turtle on top of his shoulder, and he's aching. Yertle the Turtle, enraged by Mac's complaint, calls for 200 more turtles to come and climb up and become living stones and even a higher throne, which gives Yertle a whole new view. He can see for 40 miles, and he owns everything that he can see, he thinks, and therefore has much more power and authority. And hours pass, and then from below in the great heavy stack came a groan from that plain little turtle named Mac. "Your Majesty, please, I don't like to complain, but down here below we are feeling great pain. I know up on top you are seeing great sights, but down at the bottom we too should have rights. We turtles can't stand it. Our shells will all crack. Besides, we need food. We are starving," groaned Mac. So as Yertle the turtle hears this, he becomes so angry, he shouts down to Mac to be quiet. And then the moon starts to rise. And Yertle the turtle cannot believe that anything would dare to be higher than him. And so he calls for 5,607 more turtles to come and add themselves to the stack so that they can become living stones to support his power and authority. But as Yertle the Turtle King lifted his hand and started to order and give the command, that plain little turtle whose name was just Mac decided he'd had enough, and he had. And that plain little lad got a little bit mad, and that plain little Mac did a plain little thing. He burped. And the burp shook the throne of a king. Yertle the Turtle King falls into the pond, and today that great Yertle, the marvelous he is king of the mud. That is all he can see. I love Dr. Seuss. He's a great theologian. So I want to just match his wisdom against the wisdom that we find in this letter that Peter writes to the early church. He starts off by telling us we are to rid ourselves, therefore, of all malice and all guile, insincerity, envy, and all slander. It is envy that makes Yertle the Turtle King want to expand his kingdom. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, a living stone, chosen and precious in God's sight, and like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house. The turtles let themselves be built up into a throne to serve the purposes of Yertle the Turtle. But living stones are not meant, of course, to carry such heavy burdens as those turtles have to in that particular day, such burdens. As Karen reminded the children, we are the living stones, right? You and I are the living stones that build up the Church of Jesus Christ. It's not always glamorous work, and indeed there are days when we probably feel more like the rocks in our driveway than a living stone. And work as living stones can get us dirty, right? Hauling out trash at the end of fellowship, doing spring and fall cleanups on the grounds, visiting another church member in the hospital, even though hospitals give us the creeps in general, a metaphorical kind of dirt. And then we also, as living stones, write cards, make phone calls, come to a meeting even when we've put in a full day and maybe skip supper to arrive on time, providing a welcoming atmosphere week after week after week. Not for glory, not for praise, but because preparing to greet others and welcome is central to our Christian identity. So you and I as living stones build up the church as we are energized and charged by Christ, who is our sure foundation. We build up this church and the church in the world. I'm excited that we have folks here to talk to us about a mission project we've supported in Brazil for so many years. We build up this church and the church in the world. And I really like the way Julie Atkins talks to us about this. One stone alone cannot build a church, she says. Sometimes when we get busy and frustrated doing a lot of different things, it's easy to forget this, at least temporarily. We start to think we have to do it all ourselves, kind of like Mac holding the bottom of the stack. But we know that's not healthy for us. It's not healthy. It's not healthy for the church either. Think about it. If we have only a very few stones trying to bear the weight of all the other stones, trying to do that, what do we think is going to happen? We are going to end up like those turtles in the far-off land of Salamisan. After all, who are we? Though we are not perfect, we are a chosen race. Although we are sinners, we are a royal priesthood. We may be flawed, but we are a holy nation. We might not always be the people God intends us to be, yet we are God's own people, chosen by the Lord and precious. We are living stones, and we're built on Christ, that cornerstone that holds the whole thing together and supports it. God has called us both to be saved and to serve. Neither one of those can happen to a stone by itself. But together we can become the individuals God means for us to be and can build up the church that God wants in the world today. We are chosen by God. This is our calling. This is our gift. This is our trust. Thanks be to God. Amen.